It's so damn hot. Milk was a bad choice.
Yeah, we're back with that wall of humidity. Captain Roger Brand making his way into the traffic center right now. Said he cut his lawn and dripping wet with sweat. Good to see him doing some manual labor, though. But, yeah, it's back for a couple of days with triple-digit heat indices. I was at the game last night, indices, if you will. I was at the game last night. It was really comfortable last night at Busch Stadium. I don't know if it's going to be that way tonight. Speaking of which, the Cardinals back in action. We'll have Alex Ferrario with sports during Total Information PM. I chat with John Rooney every Tuesday and Thursday. And since this is a Tuesday, we'll have John on at 4:20. Let me get you caught up just a little bit because we aired some of Senator McCain's speech as he made his way to the Senate floor after the brain cancer diagnosis and made some impassioned pleas to his colleagues on the floor of the Senate last hour. The president held a news conference. It was one of those joint news conferences with the Lebanese prime minister. So a couple of reporters got to answer questions or ask questions, and I'll get to that in just a second. Let me try to do this, though, in chronological order. So Hugh Hewitt, pundit, television star, radio talk show host, had Anthony Scaramucci on, the new communications director, and he talked about Jeff Sessions. I want to play what the president said about Jeff Sessions today in that news conference, but first, Scaramucci with Hugh Hewitt.
It's clear the president wants him gone.
I have an enormous amount of respect for the attorney general, but I do know the president pretty well, and if there's this level of tension in the relationship that's public, you're probably right, but I don't want to speak for the president on that because he's a cabinet official. And I sort of think that has to be between the president of the United States and the cabinet official.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt he wants him gone, and you'll find that out even more here in a second. But here's the question from Hugh Hewitt to Scaramucci on what's the role of the AG?
You and I might be at odds with our holder politically, but one of the things I would give him a lot of credit for is that he was a pretty good hockey goalie for the president. But I think when you think about the relationship John F. Kennedy had with his brother as attorney general, or you think about that relationship that the president had with Eric Holder, President Obama, they probably don't have that sort of a relationship. And I think the president, when he thinks about the architecture of his cabinet, I think he needs that sort of a relationship there.
Why don't they have that relationship? The only reason they don't have that relationship, unless I'm missing something here, is because Jeff Sessions rightly recused himself when it came to the Russian investigation because he was part of the campaign, and the campaign and their potential collusion, not saying it is collusion, I don't think there's any evidence of that, but since it is being investigated, then he steps out of that investigation, says it's the right thing to do. The president should support him and say, yeah, you know, you were my pick. I thought you were eminently qualified for this position. You were one of my staunchest supporters last year. You did the right thing. There's nothing here. It's a witch hunt. They'll find that out. Bob Mueller's going to find that out. Let's move on with the business of the country. But instead, he throws Jeff Sessions under the bus. If I'm Jeff Sessions, I don't quit. I don't go anywhere. Make him force him out. Well, I'm going to take the side of Jeff Sessions here because I don't think he did anything wrong whatsoever. But the president asked about that by a reporter at this news conference or this mini news conference earlier this afternoon.
You have called your attorney general beleaguered. You've criticized his decision to recuse himself on the Russia matters. And your kind of catchphrase or motto before the White House was you're fired. So I'm wondering if you would talk to us a little bit about whether you've lost confidence in Jeff Sessions, whether you want him to resign on his own, whether you're prepared to fire him if he doesn't, and why you're sort of letting him twist in the wind rather than just making the call for him.
And that's a very well-phrased question, I think, because that is what he's doing. He's kind of making him twist in the wind. Here's the president's answer.
Thank you.
Well, I don't think I am doing that, but I am disappointed in the attorney general. He should not have recused himself almost immediately after he took office. And if he was going to recuse himself, he should have told me prior to taking office, and I would have quite simply picked somebody else. So I think that's a bad thing, not for the president, but for the presidency. I think it's unfair to the presidency, and that's the way I feel. Thank you.
The only difference as I see it, maybe I'm missing something here. The only difference that I see, if he would have appointed someone else, Rudy Giuliani's name has come up. It's not going to be Rudy Giuliani. Let's say that Giuliani, well, he can't even use that example. He was part of the campaign, too. I don't know. He would have, let's say he appointed someone who wasn't in the campaign. I think that that person might not have recused himself or herself, but still would have worked with an independent counsel on this investigation. Here's a little bit more. And again, he didn't have a lot to say today on this because there were only a couple of questions that were asked.
I want the Attorney General to be much tougher on the leaks from intelligence agencies, which are leaking like rarely have they ever leaked before at a very important level. These are intelligence agencies. We cannot have that happen. You know many of my views in addition to that, but I think that's one of the very important things that they have to get on with. I told you before, I'm very disappointed with the Attorney General, but we will see what happens. Time will tell. Time will tell.
Time will tell. So there you go. He did make a couple of comments on Obamacare, and we do have a cut of the day coming up later this hour. The very latest, though, is the Senate did vote to move forward with the health care legislation. All that means is they're going to open it up for debate and amendments and see if they can cobble something together with or without the help of the Democrats, which will be without. Although Senator McCain made a pretty good case this afternoon for working with the Democrats or inviting the Democrats to say, look, if you think that there's something wrong with this, if you agree with this, that some of these things need to be fixed, offer some amendments. Let's offer to fix it. I don't think they're going to take him up on that. I didn't even get to the Boy Scout thing last night. And let me just say this on the Boy Scout thing. My two boys are Eagle Scouts. And when I first heard this, I was at the game last night. I started seeing tweets about it. I checked Twitter during the game. And, of course, the one line that got a lot of attention was this.
And it said, we're going to talk about success, about how all of you amazing young scouts can achieve your dreams. What to think of what I've been thinking about. You want to achieve your dreams. I said, who the hell wants to speak about politics when I'm in front of the Boy Scouts? Right?
I mean, he was getting cheers. Now, so when I first saw this on Twitter last night, I'm thinking, oh, these are like, you know, 10-year-old kids out there. Well, they weren't 10-year-old kids. They were a little older. That may not make a difference to a lot of people. But I did think that the reaction to those comments, and there's more to it because he did politicize that event a little bit. He went into a bunch of different territories. But that's what he does. I mean, that's what this guy does. And at this point, I've spent enough breath in questioning some of those moves and motives, but I, you know, in the whole scheme of things that Donald Trump has done, I'd say that the speech to the Boy Scouts is a nothing burger. There it is. That I think the Russia investigation, pretty legitimate. Needs to happen. Boy Scout speech, nothing burger. Hey, guess who's coming in here in just a moment? I can't wait. Charles Berry Jr., Chuck Berry's son, talking about the new record, and he's been kind of on a whirlwind tour here promoting it. He was on Jimmy Fallon a couple of weeks ago. I can't wait to have a conversation. We had him on the week the record came out. He's coming up next on KMOX.
And now the young monsieur and madame have rung the chapel bell.
Broadcasting from the KMOX Golden Oak Lending Studios. Golden Oak Lending, with fixed rates now in the twos.
Ah, you know that sound? That is one of the new songs called Big Boys off of Chuck, the brand new record, just got released last month. And Charles Berry Jr. is with me in the studio coming off a whirlwind of promoting that record. How are you, man? It's good to see you in person.
Mark, doing well.
You came on with me right as the record was coming out. And I got to tell you something. This is a great sounding record. And the one thing that you told me that I should have guessed, I suppose, is that a lot of the, and maybe a majority of the music and the vocals, a lot of those were hanging out there in the studio from a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't like your dad went into a studio last year before he passed away and did these tracks. It was stuff that was already maybe unpolished or unfinished, but laid down.
Yeah, well, most of his stuff, yes, had been worked on for that 30-some-odd years. And he, you know, there were many, many versions of that stuff. Most of those records are songs, I should say. And sure enough, his stuff was probably done 5 years, something like that. And then just tweaks done to his portions.
Right.
And I think I mentioned this in the last time we spoke, Mark, but then the band members started to come in and actually lay down the official,
formal
tracks. Because my dad had originally, every one of those instruments, he played himself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there was a drum machine. He had his own bass, so he laid down his own bass, had had all, you know, he wasn't a Johnny Johnson keyboard player by a long shot, but he could get by, and he played that. So he put every instrument down except harmonica.
Okay.
That was my sister. And then, as I said earlier, then the rest of the band, usually the first person in after my dad did his thing would be Jimmy Marsalis, the bass player, 40 years. And then we just put the rest of the pieces of it together.
Now, was it always a plan to do a record like this, or was it still because the tracks were out there, you're not sure what was going to happen with it, or was there a focus eventually, hey, this is going to be the record and maybe the last record?
I don't think none of us were at the time anticipating this being his last work, but my dad, he had been wanting to release this thing for a long time. I think I mentioned to you last time we spoke that in 1989, his studio burned up.
Right.
And prior to that, you know, there were 30 or 40 songs in various stages of completion that were, you know.
Got lost forever?
They got burned up.
Man.
All of them got cooked.
Ugh.
But he really did put a lot of emphasis on the 10 that are on the album. And,
you know this, but it's a damn good record. This is a really good record. It's a great record. You know, you think, okay, it's Chuck Berry, but still it's new music. And is it going to be that good? And it's awesome. And not only is it awesome because of your dad, but you pull in people like Gary Clark Jr. and Nathaniel Rateliff. And I don't know who else might have done a little work on the compilation. And they record those tracks in their studios.
Yes.
And everything comes together. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And the third person, there were two other guests, one being Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine, and then my son Charles
and the E Street Band, I should mention, because Tom did tour with the E Street Band for 2 years. I don't know if you
and
know
that's
that.
True.
Yeah, he worked
no,
with
that
Bruce
is correct.
For a couple years.
That is correct, and was very good. You know,
yeah,
he
was, really
he was a great addition to it. But then also my son Charles Berry the Third, he did some solo work on Lady Be Good and Wonderful Woman,
and I have both of the songs in there. I should play one. Let's play Wonderful Woman a little bit here.
Oh, well, look at here now. This just makes my day.
It's a great sounding classic Chuck Berry record,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think I might have told you this. So years ago, yeah, I did a bunch of work in the 80s in music radio and the record business. My dream and passion was always to be like an A&R guy at a record company. And
sure.
If I would have achieved that, I might be dead at this point just because of the way the record business is. But there was Chess put this collection of greatest hits out many years ago, and when I got that on vinyl, that was one of those records. And look, I was like a classic rock and sort of maybe a bit of a heavy metal guy, and then into new wave in the 80s. But when that record came out, man, I wore out the grooves, and
sure.
It's still in my vinyl collection right now.
Are you speaking of the Great 28?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was it.
So that came out around 1982, somewhere in
yep,
that time
right
frame.
There. That's right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
I was in high school at
yeah.
the time, but that's when
yeah.
That's when I kind of got hooked. Because at that point I was 17 years old, so I knew of Chuck Berry and
sure.
You know, and knew the legend, but I didn't know the music exceptionally well.
Sure.
But that was what hooked me in. Say,
mm-hmm.
Man, I gotta listen to this. And that's still, and your dad's music is still one of those things that I go back to every once in a while. I get in a mood.
Mm-hmm.
I do this with Sam Cooke every once in
mm-hmm.
a while too, and I just sit back and roll the tracks, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So
sure.
how has this period been? Let's go back to Jimmy Fallon. So you go
mm-hmm.
on Jimmy Fallon with Nathaniel Rateliff. Nathaniel is a Missouri guy. He's from Herman, Missouri.
Herman.
He's going to play Lou Fest this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on my show before. Joseph Pope, his bass player, is also from Herman. They've based in Denver for many years.
Mm-hmm.
But how did that come together?
Well, Nathaniel had been on Fallon, I think, two times prior. And I think, you know, between Nathaniel and Jimmy, I think there's an actual friendship between
well,
the two.
Well, not only that, but I think Nathaniel told me what the first time that he went on there, Jimmy kind of discovered them a little bit and said, and SOB was the single, and
mm-hmm.
said, we got to get you guys on. And that changed everything. That changed the entire trajectory for Nathaniel
mm-hmm.
Rateliff and the Night Sweats. I mean, without that first appearance on Fallon, who knows? He was he's a working musician. He's not
oh, yeah.
a young guy. But yeah, Fallon, I think, played a real big role there.
Yeah,
and
like I say, I think they're actual
sure.
friends, you know, besides the working relationship. I think those guys are
they hang.
Very, yeah,
yeah,
you know,
because right.
after the show, I mean, they're just going back and forth
yeah,
the
that's
whole
cool.
thing. It was fantastic. So the buyer called Nathaniel and said, hey, we'd like to have you back on the show. And he said, okay, sure, I'd love to do it. And then what possessed him to tell them this? I have no idea, Mark. But he said, okay, and I want to do Chuck's new song, Big Boys. So, of course, at the time, I didn't know. But then, you know, the food chain, the musical food chain kicks in. The record label gets in contact with our entertainment lawyer, or the lawyer taking care of our music right now. And we have myself, my sister, and my mom, we have weekly meetings, go over stuff. And she says, oh, yeah, and guess what? Nathaniel's going to be on the Fallon show, and he's going to do Big Boy. So I jokingly say, well, if he's going to be on there doing Big Boys, then we should be on there too. Gary Pearson feeds this back to Dual Tone, who then feeds it back to the buyer at the Fallon show, and it comes full circle. Well, yeah, they'd love to have you. And I was joking. Mark, I was joking.
Right, right.
You know, I didn't plan on it, but he said, well, no, they want you. They really think it will work. And I was like, okay, well, all right. And that's how.
And let me tell you something. It did work, too. And
well,
your son was up there on stage.
Yes.
You guys looked like you were having a great
time.
Oh,
we had a blast.
Man, Jimmy, he came on after that. Of course, it's always the last segment of the show, and he's just smiling ear to ear. And, yeah, that was kick you-know-what. Charles Berry Jr. is with me in the studio, Chuck Berry's son, and we'll come back with more talking about the new record, Chuck, and some of the experiences in the aftermath of the release in a moment on KMOX. This is Big Boy.
As the scout law says,
my honor, I will do my best.
Who the hell wants to speak about politics when I'm in front of the Boy Scouts?
My duty to God and my country.
And by the way, under the Trump administration,
and to obey the scout law,
we could use some more loyalty.
Help other people at all times.
Tom, you're fired.
To keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight.
When you need to know.
19th Boy Scout Jamboree, wow.
News Radio 1120. KMOX.
This here song, it ain't so sad. The cutest little song y'all ever had.
Charles Berry Jr.'s got a big grin on his face around it. This has always been one of my songs. Because when he does this, when your dad did this live, it was, and you've done it plenty of times,
yeah,
the crowd reaction was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, when I was pulling this, too, I went back to try to find the studio version. And the studio version just pales in comparison to the live version and the fun that he had with this song over the years. And I love the fact that there's all these women that are singing My Ding-a-Ling.
Yeah.
That's classic rock and roll history right there, Charles Berry. So what has the reaction been? You went from the Fallon show to D.C. to overseas to promote this record.
Yeah.
What's that been like, and what's the reception been like?
It's been very, very good, man. I've been very pleased with the reaction from the fans. Everyone, you know, we get the reviews, and when I was in France, I was at this hotel doing interviews, and some people from France came in. Oh, are you, I love the record.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the general reaction. And, you know, the press people, man, this is a really good album.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Really,
it's really good. I think everyone did a very good job putting this thing together. Bob Lohr, who is my dad's keyboard player. Yeah, if you ever came to Blueberry Hill.
Of course I did. Saw him.
Bob was the man. Fantastic piano player. Keith Robinson, the drummer, monster drummer. He was in the band for 10 years. My sister Ingrid, who was in the band for 40 plus years.
So talented. Yeah, I love Ingrid.
And as well as Jimmy Marcello. I mean, everyone just pulled all the stops. And, you know, we did our absolute best to make this sound as good as it turned out.
Outside of what you guys did with Nathaniel on Fallon, is there or will there be future opportunities to play some of this music live, do you think? Or is that just going to maybe have to be organic?
I don't know, man. You know, only reason I really was playing is because my dad asked me.
Mm-hmm.
So after he passed away, it's like, well, you know, I'm pretty much done. And then the opportunity I kind of got pushed into that Fallon thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, I'll do it. But, I mean, there's been a lot of offers, lots of stuff coming up across the table. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Somebody's got to do a movie on your dad, though, too, don't they? Has that been presented or pitched?
A lot of stuff has been thrown at my mom, you know, or, well, my mother, because, you know, she's now in charge of everything. But, and so she's weighing her options.
Got to be careful with those, right?
Yeah, got to be real careful.
Absolutely.
Because me, myself, I've never been really big on made for TV movies are based on. I love documentaries because that's, you know, here's the facts, you know, Joe Friday facts, but somebody.
Yeah, you have to be careful because if the treatment isn't right, then, and there have been some very good biopics from Hollywood, but more often than not, you're probably right. What's the reaction, or what was the reaction in the aftermath of your father's death from some of these people out there that he played with over the years and some of the legends like Keith Richards? I always love the stories because if you saw Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll, there was a little edge to him, right? And there was a little contention between some of these guys, and they're not afraid to talk about it. And your dad probably wasn't afraid to talk about it either. Right.
Well, but, you know, but I'll say this, Mark, in pertaining to that, Taylor Hackford is an excellent director.
He did Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll.
Yeah. He and what looks like two guys ready to tear each other's heads off really was two guys that are basically in a band with creative differences. He sent my parents Christmas cards for 10 years or more. When the two of them encountered each other on the road, the one is the Penn Award up in Massachusetts. Keith wasn't even supposed to be there. He found out that my dad and Leonard Cohen were getting awards, the literary awards. Well, now they started using music writers of music. Oh, yeah, we should be including them. Keith came from wherever he was and said, oh, no, I'm coming up to check this out.
Right.
And, you know, I've got the pictures to prove that, no, these cats were having a blast when they encountered each other.
Well, he did not make it to the service, but no. He wrote a really, yes. really nice piece
yes.
that I read on the air here because it, yes. it was very respectful and great and, yes. and honored. And, you know, I don't know, because you grew up with all of this, but do you ever sit back and allow yourself, or have you over the years, to sit and think about the impact? Because I don't think you can overstate the impact that your dad had on music and rock and roll and all these artists. What I said after his death was, if you know, my kids would be a good example of this. They never saw Chuck Berry. They know who he is. They don't have an appreciation for the music. But I tell them, and I told them this after Chuck died, I said, look, you may not know him, but the person that you're a fan of, they were influenced by Chuck Berry. Most of them in one way, shape, or form. And if you didn't have Chuck Berry, you might not have had the Beatles.
Yeah, that's true. And you put it in a good perspective, too, because, you know, I was so close to the whole thing that, you know, that was just dad to me, mm-hmm. you know. But then stepping back and seeing all the other people that would come, I mean, Brian Wilson.
Right.
I mean, just like, dude, you were litigated against for stealing the music to one of my dad's songs.
And that's right.
But he still came back. I saw pictures of him, and he's almost just bowing down to my father, you know, in the photographs. He has just this look in his eyes that I would have if I saw James Brown. You know, I just like, my God, I can't believe I'm standing in the same room with James Brown. Well, that's the look that Brian Wilson, the creator of all that beautiful Beach Boys music, had on his face.
Yeah.
Man.
So when he did, was it Surfing USA? Because your dad has a writing credit on that, right?
Yes,
but
he does.
But he didn't at first. Is that what it is?
Right. Yeah. It's like, wait a minute. That sure doesn't. That sounds like one of my songs.
Well, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty clear. But
yeah. So I mean, so even in spite of that, Brian Wilson still is like, hey man, this guy's no joke. I guess I did take it and. I guess I did.
Right.
Yeah, I admit it. But good music and the appreciation of it holds true 100%. And to see a Brian Wilson or a Keith Richards or a Bruce Springsteen, any of those people.
Yeah. I'm a big Springsteen guy.
Oh,
I am too. He pays homage all the time
and
has covered a lot of songs.
And one of my favorites, I just saw this. Bruce was someplace, and I guess he was in Europe somewhere, and someone screams out from the crowd, play You Never Can Tell.
Which I played earlier. That's one of my favorite songs, by the way.
And they, yeah, yeah.
It was a teenage wedding, and the old folks wished.
So Bruce loves to call audibles if there's signs and, you know, people shouting out, and he's able to pull off a Chuck Berry song with no doubt.
And it was incredible because this clip, they literally, the band hasn't played this song before, at least to my knowledge. They hadn't played the song or hadn't played it recently.
In a long time, probably.
So,
right.
Bruce is humming the melody to the horn section and then telling the drummer and the bass player, and then they play the song. I almost broke down and started crying.
It's pretty magical, isn't it?
It was unbelievable. It was the greatest tribute to what my dad did, is to see them just do that on the fly like that. It could have been staged, but it was.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so either.
But
and, you know, Bruce has got the guys underneath the stage already. If something like that happens, they'll plug in the lyrics just in case he doesn't know the lyrics. So there's a little teleprompter there.
Yeah.
But
I've
seen that happen many times with some of the covers where he's like, all right, I don't know how this is, but he loves those. Springsteen loves those challenges. I don't know how this is going to go, but they're the best, man. They just rock it out.
Absolutely superb.
Well, this, you know what sucks is that I have to end this interview because I love talking to you so much, and this has been a lot of fun. And congratulations on, obviously, as painful as it was to lose your father and all the memories and the emotions that have to still be, you know, overflowing with you. It has to mean something and really be special to have this level of success with recordings that have lingered out there for a long time and all the people that wanted to be a part of it, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, a lot of people wanted to jump in on this, but my parents were like, nah, we'll keep this real close. And
probably a good idea. Good instincts there. Charles, thank you so much for making your way in. I know how busy you've been in the past few weeks, and it's fun for me to talk about your dad and talk music, and it was good to see you.
All right. Great way to go out, too. That's my son's solo right there.
I knew it. There you go. Wonderful Woman from the new record. Thanks, Charles.
All right.
You know I was pushing for luck, but I knew I had to close the show. But you was rocking me, baby, with your...
Stand by. Playback ready.
Initiating sequence. Now, the audio cut of the day.
There was a vote, by the way, the cut of the day is sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Good Feet Arch Support's immediately available, coming for your free test walk today. There was a vote in the U.S. Senate today, and John McCain was present for that vote to send the health care bill to the floor for debate. Before that, actually, this may have actually happened after the vote itself. John McCain came on the Senate floor and made some comments, even took some shots at some people in the media. Here's what he said at their cut of the day.
But I stand here today looking a little worse for wear, I'm sure. I have a refreshed appreciation for the protocols and customs of this body and for the other 99 privileged souls who have been elected to this Senate.
He encouraged people who he works with, the colleagues in the Senate, to work together.
I've known and admired men and women in the Senate who played much more than a small role in our history, true statesmen, giants of American politics. They come from both parties and from various backgrounds. Their ambitions were frequently in conflict. They held different views on the issues of the day, and they often had very serious disagreements about how best to serve the national interest. But they knew that however sharp and heartfelt their disputes, however keen their ambitions, they had an obligation to work collaboratively to ensure the Senate discharged its constitutional responsibilities effectively.
And here is where Senator McCain takes a little shot at some folks in the media.
I hope we can again rely on humility, on our need to cooperate, on our dependence on each other, to learn how to trust each other again, and by so doing better, serve the people who elected us. Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them.
He might be talking about people like me. Maybe not.
They don't want anything done for the public good. Our incapacity is their livelihood. Let's trust each other. Let's return to regular order. We've been spinning our wheels on too many important issues because we keep trying to find a way to win without help from across the aisle. That's an approach that's been employed by both sides, mandating legislation from the top down without any support from the other side, with all the parliamentary maneuvers that requires. We're getting nothing done, my friends. We're getting nothing done.
Well, that's very clear to the rest of us in the country, especially here in the middle of the country over the flyover states. I'm going to, you know, kind of agree with Senator McCain on a couple of those points. I don't think he was taking a shot at me. I think that we know some of the folks who are the loudmouths, and Sean Hannity would be at the top of that list right now. But I am interested in the public good, and I am interested in this body, the United States Senate, and the House and the administration, in doing something that will help people in this country, whether it's infrastructure, health care, or the most important aspect, tax reform. And they're ready to blanket all the way if they're not careful. So we'll see what happens. That's our audio cut of the day. Traffic, CBS News, Total Information PM, coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.